This is a shiur on Likutei Sichos, Book 22, the parsha of the Sicha of Kedoshim, parsha of Kedoshim, the second Sicha. After the Torah says the law of Arla is the first 3 years when you plant a tree, you're not allowed to eat the fruits of the first 3 years. As Rashi says, it doesn't matter if you put, it's not to delay the time. So if you took the fruit of the second year and you put it away in storage, he took it out after the fifth year, it doesn't change anything. Whatever grows in those first 3 years is called Arla. Arla means blockage. So it has to be blocked from consumption. Then you have the law of the fourth year. The fourth year would be just like the second tithe, Ma'aser Sheni. You would have to take the fruit that grew on the fourth year of the planting. It needed to be taken to Yerushalayim. That's where you had to eat the fruit. Or you had to take the monetary value, transfer the holiness of the fruit of the fourth year, which we need to take in Yerushalayim, make it into monetary value, take the money to Yerushalayim and eat the fruit wherever you want. So, but after that 3 or 4 years, by the way, halacha, today we keep the laws of Arla, even outside Israel. If you plant a tree, you have to wait 3 years till you can use the fruit of the fourth year. The fourth year doesn't apply outside Israel for sure not. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Even in Israel not, there's no Beis HaMikdash. But at any rate...
But this law is not only for Israel?
No, the fourth year. The third year is for everywhere. First. No, I should say that in outside Israel, there's a, if I remember correctly, Halacha L'Meshe M'Sinai, a teaching from Meshe M'Sinai, that Suffolk Arla, when you're not sure, is it from the fruit of the third year? You go to the supermarket. If it's doubt, in Chutzlar, it's outside Israel, you're allowed to eat it. Which means that in Israel, you'll see a sign, L'lo Chashash Arla, that this is not from anything of the first 3 years. In outside Israel, in the kosher supermarkets even, doesn't have to say this is without any doubt, not from the first 3 years, because they're buying it from non-Jewish people. And outside Israel, doubtful, if it's a doubt, whether or not it's Arla, definite first 3 years you can't eat. But if you don't know, you don't have to ask. In Israel, you have to ask and make sure it's not from the first 3 years.
But it doesn't matter where it's from. It doesn't matter who's owns it.
In Israel, we're saying the Shemitah is the seventh year. It applies only to Jewish-owned lands. Is Arla... No, Arla, it doesn't matter who owns it. But if you know for sure it's the first 3 years, you can't eat from it. Yeah.
So you wouldn't buy fruit from the market?
Yes, you would. Here, yes.
In the open? No, I mean
in Israel? No, in Israel, generally speaking, the Rabbanut oversees most of the markets. Yeah. And there'll be somebody making sure. That's one of the things I have to make sure. It's a serious thing. So, okay. After the law, after the Torah tells us about the first 3 years and then the fourth year, then it tells us the fifth year. The fifth year, you figure, there's nothing to say about it. Fifth year, your home's scot-free. You can just go and eat, enjoy. But the Torah says, "Vashona chamishis," in the fifth year, "tochlu et pirio," eat that, you can eat its fruit. And then there's an additional three words, which is "losif lachem tovato," to add for you its produce. Ani Hashem lekechem mayim Hashem. So what's the addition here in the words that on the fifth year you can eat to add in its produce? So Rashi quotes these words and he says, "To add for you in its produce." What does it mean? This mitzvah of keeping the third and fourth year that you keep will be in order to add the produce. In other words, the additional produce or the blessed produce that you have is because a reward that you have been kept the laws of the first three and four years. In that reward, I'm going to bless the fruits of your netiyot, the fruits of your plantings. So simply speaking, what's Rashi saying? Rashi's coming to explain what are these extra words here for. Lo sif lachem tovato. Keep the mitzvahs of the third and fourth year. The fifth year you can eat in order to add in your produce. What does that mean? So Rashi seems to be telling us that it's like there's a brackets. It's like the pasuk says, and in the fifth year you can eat the fruit. And now it's going back to talk about the third and fourth year, that the third and fourth year are what bring you the blessing that Hashem blesses the yield, that you have better and more produce. Let's not get... One second. We're going to go into explaining Ani Hashem Elokeichem also. Right now, without going into Shemitah necessarily, but the Torah says something very, very simple. if you read it simply, you read Bashana Hamishit Tochlu et Priyo, in the fifth year, eat its fruit, and then it says, Lohosif Lachem Tvuato, to get more Tvua. Why are you getting reward? That Lohosif Lachem Tvuato, that Hashem will add you more produce or bless your produce, is a kind of a reward. Why would that reward follow on from the words about eating in the fifth year? Eating in the fifth year is not a mitzvah. So Rashi says, the eating, the bracha that comes is coming because of the third and fourth year. It's written out of order here, but what it means is, lo sif lachem tuato, the reward of keeping the prohibition of the first 3 years and the fourth year, taking Yerushalayim, will be what gives you the blessing, lo sif lachem tuato, that your produce will be blessed in the fifth year. However, we don't understand why does Rashi have to say it in such length? Rashi could have just said very succinctly, very, very kitzur, very, very concisely, like the Eben Ezra does say it concisely, that lo sif lachem tvato, these three words, that you'll get more produce, is davak im kodesh ilulim. It's really going back to a few words earlier where we were told that on the fourth year, you have to take it to Yerushalayim, and it becomes kodesh ilulim. It becomes a way of praising Hashem. What happens when you take the, what happens when you go to Yerushalayim with your fruit? No, you can eat it, Yerushalayim. Don't live that Bikurim goes to the Kohanim. This you eat yourself, but the atmosphere of Yerushalayim makes you aware
how many
to praise Hashem.
By yourself.
So you bring your family, bring your friends, give it out to the Kohanim, give it out to the people. People would come into Yerushalayim with the Maaser Sheni, with the second tithing, with the Netar Revai, the fruits of the fourth year. They'd make parties, that make big, what's it called? I'll deviate just for a second. About Maaser Sheni, it's not relevant here necessarily, but about Maaser Sheni, the second tithing, it says that the Torah gives a reason in order you should learn to fear Hashem all your days. What does Maaser Sheni have to do with fearing Hashem? So it's very simple. Imagine a person has a $10,000 budget in his Maaser Sheni. He has fruits he has to take to Yerushalayim, or he can put it into money and take the money to Yerushalayim. He has $10,000 he has to spend in Yerushalayim on food. You can only spend this money on food. What is he going to spend it on? How much can he eat? So you know what he does? He figures, 1 second, instead of having my two boys hanging out working in my farm, I have to spend $10,000 on food in Yerushalayim. Let me send my two boy chicks to sit in Yerushalayim. I have anyway a budget I must spend in Yerushalayim. They'll sit in Yerushalayim. What are they going to do in Yerushalayim? That's where the action is, serving Hashem, praising Hashem. The yeshivas, the people are coming to bring the korban. It's Yirat Hashem. You know what happens? All of a sudden, they come back home. They're different people. They spent a year in Yerushalayim because they had a budget. So that's why this creates and generates the fear of Hashem in the people. But anyway, so the fourth year they have to take it to Yerushalayim. Here we're talking about the tree, the fruit of the tree. And therefore, it would seem that lahosif lachem tuato, this bracha that there's an addition or there's a blessing in the fruit, this is as a result of the third and fourth year. And even if we want to say that Rashi wants to also explain, what does it mean, lahosif lachem tevuato? It's a strange word. It's if you don't understand what it means, it can be difficult to understand. To add in your tevuah. So even if we want to say that Rashi is just explaining to us that it's explaining that in that this is a reward of keeping the prohibition of the third year and the taking to Yerushalayim of the fourth year is a reward. Earns you a reward of the blessing in the fifth year and onwards, once you're able to use the fruits. Rashi still could have said it more concisely. He could have said, "Bischar ha-mitzvah hazot, ani mevarech lechem pirot ha-netiyot." In the merit of this mitzvah, I bless for you the fruits that are coming from your plantings. Why does Rashi give, the language of Rashi is a little bit, I shouldn't say cumbersome, if you don't, unless we can find the reason why he gives this length, it seems a little bit difficult to understand. In other words, again, let's remember what Rashi says. Rashi says on the fifth year, Rashi quotes, the fifth year you can eat the fruit to add for you in its produce. Says Rashi, this mitzvah that you will keep will be in order to add to your produce, because in the reward of keeping this mitzvah, I will bless the produce. It's almost like he's telling you that the reason you keep this prohibition of Orla and the mitzvah of the fourth year in Yerushalayim is with the intention that you should have more fruit in the fifth. But is that really what Rashi is saying? So let's analyze. So let's analyze even more deeply, take a deep dive into the Rashi. Paragraph 2. There's other things to look at in the Rashi. First of all, he says, HaMitzvah HaZot SheTishmeru. This mitzvah that you keep will bring you reward. Why doesn't he just say when you keep the mitzvah? Why this mitzvah? Sounds like this mitzvah has some unique connection to reward. Number two, he says, because of the mitzvah, this mitzvah that you do, I will bless for you the fruit of your plantings. The Torah doesn't say peirot. The Torah doesn't call it netiyot, the saplings, the plantings. The Torah calls it tevuato, lo sif lachem tevuato, to add in the produce. Why does Rashi rearrange those words, replace the words of produce to say peirot haniyot, the fruit of your plantings? Even if you want to say, maybe Rashi's explaining, what does tevuato mean? It doesn't, it's not trying to say, tevua usually denotes produce from the field, grains. So maybe Rashi is changing the word here because he wants you to think it's not like if you keep this mitzvah, now your wheat and barley will be blessed in some kind of an unrelated way. He says, no. Rashi wants to say when it says your produce will be blessed, he's saying your fruits. Doesn't mean keep the mitzvah related to trees and now your fields that are giving wheat and barley, chitan, sora, will be blessed. No, that's what he means. But still, Rashi could have said it more concisely. He could have said, mevarech lachem ha-peirot. He blesses your fruits. Why does he say peirot ha-netiyot? There's some kind of a... So Rashi's hinting here at something. Paragraph 3. Later on is Rashi. Rashi continues. Rashi, later on, gives us a little bit of a musar, gives us a little bit of a moral teaching. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Dibra Torah keneged yetzara, the Torah here, by saying that you're going to have a blessed produce, a blessed yield from the fifth year onwards, because you kept the mitzvahs, the Torah is speaking to the negative inclination. Shelo yomar adam, that a person shouldn't say to himself, Hare arba shanim ani mitzta'er bo chinam. For 4 years I'm working myself, I'm putting forth effort to the point of even having pain. But it's for nothing, can't have any benefit. The first 3 years I can't use it at all. The fourth year I got to slap it to Yerushalayim. Ah, so the Torah speaks to the Yetzirah and says, Lefichach ne'emar lo sif lachem tevuato, that because you did those 4 years of sacrifice, Hashem is blessing your tevuah, Hashem is blessing your produce. So now the question is, why does Rashi bring this teaching from Rabbi Akiva? So Mefarshim say, well, Rashi's explaining to you, why does the Torah say, keep the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year you can eat, and Hashem will bless you? Why doesn't it say earlier? Why doesn't it say that? Why doesn't it say earlier, by the keeping of the mitzvah? In other words, like this, it says, "Bashana chamishit yelachem pirio." Bashana chamishit. It says the reward after the fifth year. Why doesn't it say it after the fourth year? It should tell you, keep these 3 years and four years, and I will reward you. He first says, you will eat the fifth year, and you'll have more. Why does he rate? So the commentaries say, well, that's why Rashi brings Rabbi Akiva. To tell you, Rabbi Akiva is saying, why are we talking about reward here? Because after 4 years of keeping away from the fruit and eating the fifth year, now Rabbi Akiva says, you know why the reward comes? Because the first 4 years you stayed away from eating it. So that's why Rashi brings this teaching of Rabbi Akiva. But the Rebbe questions that, just by the way, no one asked me the question that one would ask. The fourth year, you can eat the fruit. You just have to take it to Yerushalayim. So why is Rabbi Akiva saying for 4 years I've worked in the field for no reason? The fourth year you had benefit. So obviously the answer to that is that you need... The fourth year, let's understand the dynamics of that fourth year fruit. When you eat the fourth year fruit, you have to take it to Yerushalayim. What does it mean, taking to Yerushalayim? Symbolically, it means it really belongs to Hashem. Now, when you eat, are you eating your fruit? Or is Hashem handing you His fruit? The way we look at it, with Maaser Sheni, with the second tithing, and with Netar Avai, is the reason you take it to Hashem is to acknowledge, before you start the fifth year and eating, to acknowledge really everything is Hashem's. It's like taking your first fruit, taking your firstborn. The fourth year goes to Hashem. Now Hashem says, beautiful. Thank you for coming here. I'm going to serve you the fruits you brought me. I'm going to serve to you. You can eat it in Yerushalayim. So it's still mitzta'er bo chinam. I've worked for it and doesn't stay with me. The first 3 years totally doesn't belong to me. The fourth year I give to Hashem, then Hashem feeds it to me, but it's still my effort, which I didn't get a result from. I'm getting a gift from Hashem, but I didn't not getting it. Only in the fifth year do I start having a result from my hard efforts. Now the fruit actually belongs to me. Hashem, as said, I planted it and it's mine. So in other words, the first 4 years, Rabbi Akiva tells us, first 4 years, you worked hard, and that's why Hashem says the fifth year you're going to be blessed. But still, we have to understand why the fact that there's no reward for the mitzvah said earlier on in this passage is not really a question in the way Rashi teaches simple Chumash. Because usually, Hashem only tells the reward at the end of the topic. He doesn't interject while he's telling the mitzvah, he doesn't tell you the reward. At the end, he says, and if you keep it, there'll be a reward. Yeah, good example. On your father and mother, and it says, you should have a long life. also, we have to understand, why does Rashi bring Rabbi Akiva? Very often, most quotes that Rashi brings, everything Rashi brings is not his. He's quoting from Midrashim, he's quoting from Talmud. He usually doesn't bring the name of the author. It's not relevant to the five-year-old who is teaching to know who said what. When he does bring the name, like saying Rabbi Akiva, there must be a reason that he brings it. He wants to tell us something, hint to us something in Rabbi Akiva's persona that will give us a message that we should know. More than that, he doesn't just say Rabbi Akiva said. He says, Haya Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva was wont to say, wont, W-O-N-T. Rabbi Akiva used to say, like it's, this is Rabbi Akiva's kind of motto. Interesting. Yeah. Hu Haya Omer. Yeah. So why does Rashi say it in that way? What's being added here in the understanding of this topic? Now let's understand something much more fundamental. Paragraph 4. In this talk itself by Rabbi Akiva, who says that a person is, that the Torah is talking to the negative inclination, who says, wow, why am I doing, working so hard for these mitzvahs? I don't get anything. Hello? Is this the only place in the Torah where Hashem is asking us to do something where it takes effort and we don't see immediate results? I don't think so. There are so many mitzvahs where the Torah tells us the reward, and Rashi doesn't explain that the reason the Torah tells the reward is to speak to the devious negative inclination, the Yetzer Hara, and the person who's going to say, I don't want to do this because it's costing me effort and I don't get anything from it. In other words, always you could say, whatever Hashem gives reward, why does Hashem tell us reward in the Torah? We need to hear reward. If you hear Hashem wants you to do something, that's the biggest reward. Why does Hashem tell us reward? Because there's part of us that says, I'm going to give ma'aser, I'm going to give 10% of my earnings to my grain and my earnings. So the Torah says, ta'asher, you'll be rich, it's going to be good for you. L'man yavarechecha, you'll be blessed. In other words, there's a part of us, the Yetzer Hara. So the Torah is always speaking to the Yetzer Hara in a sense. But Rashi doesn't always bring that. Why here is there a need to say that this reward is somehow speaking to the Yetzer Hara? Why can't we just say the Torah is telling us the reward? Because that person deserves the reward. Saying, so if you do this, you'll get blessing in the fifth year. Now, I'm not suspecting that that Yetzer Hara is mixing in, telling you not to do it. No. I just want to tell you, I'm asking you to do this, Hashem says, and I'm telling you the reward. Why can't we just learn it simple? Why do we have to inject that maybe there's some resistance? Rabbi Akiva says this saying that you'll be blessed in the fifth year is to whittle away at the resistance, to knock down the negative voice inside you that says, I'm working for nothing, nothing's happening. Who said? Why do we need this injected here? About this mitzvah, what's different about this mitzvah? Bishleima, There is a mitzvah where the Torah also famously says the Torah spoke to the Negev Mikdash. You know which mitzvah? The mitzvah of the beautiful woman that's found captive in battle. And there it says, take her, if you're going to battle, you find a beautiful woman. You take her for a wife. And Rashi right away comments, the Torah is speaking to the negative inclination that won't be able to hold itself back. If you don't give it away to do it permissibly, he's just going to go ahead and do it forbiddenly. So why does Rashi bring there that the Torah there speaking to the Yetzer Hara? Because Rashi explains there, if you're not going to give him a way to do it in a permissible way, with many caveats, with many, it's a long process, but still, really, this should be a forbidden thing technically, but Hashem allowed it. So we understand that why did Hashem allow it in this case? So Rashi explains, because Hashem was speaking to the Yetzara, there is a temptation within the person. And in this case, Hashem said, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say yes, but this way and that way. But in general, we find about the reward for a mitzvah that this is a fundamental principle in the observance of mitzvahs. The Torah says many times that Hashem gives reward. So why is this reward somehow different? Rabbi Akiva, that Rashi brings, Rabbi Akiva says, this reward is speaking to the negative inclination that would say, you worked so hard, it's nothing, it's not good, it's, no, you, there's a reward. Let's see, why in this mitzvah somehow there's a... Yeah, so what you're saying is brought here in the Rebbe's footnote. He says, there is a Rashi where it says about the daily sacrifice, the Tamid Shel Shachar. It says, Tzavet B'nei Yisrael. We read it today in Rosh Chodesh reading. Tzavet B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Aleihem. Instruct the B'nei Yisrael. Tzav, why instruct? And the Torah says, because where there's Chisaron Kis, because the sacrifice the B'nei Yisrael are being told to offer is in Korban Ola, it's a burnt offering. Burnt offering nobody gets to eat from, only Hashem. So that's really, if you think about it, it's a waste of money. In the sense of human benefit, it's all going to Hashem. So Hashem has to, the Torah has to emphasize tzav, has to give a stronger language of command where there's a money loss. Similarly, later on, when we learn about the laws of Shemitah, the seventh year, the sabbatical, and that Hashem asks in the Torah the question, if you say, what will we eat on the seventh year? We didn't plant. But even there, when the Torah asks questions and acknowledges that when you tell people to spend money or to not use their money or to relax from their fields and not make money, there's some difficulty there. There's a question there. But even there, that Rashi doesn't use that same language that the Torah is speaking to the Yetzer Hara. Somehow here, there seems to be a deeper problem within the person for accepting these mitzvot of third and fourth year that Rashi is addressing, that Rabbi Akiva is addressing. So let's understand what it is. Paragraph 5, but first let's understand another question. On the words, Ani Hashem, I think you pointed this out, it says, I am Hashem. What does Rashi explain? I am Hashem. Why does it say, I am Hashem? We know Hashem is Hashem. No, he's trying to make a point. I am Hashem, HaMavtiach Al-Kach, who's promising you for this, that you'll be rewarded in the fifth year. And I can be relied upon. I'm faithful to keep my promise. Not understood. Usually when Rashi says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, what does he explain? I'm Hashem your God. I am trustable to pay reward or to punish. Why here is there a more lengthy language? I am Hashem who promises about this reward, and I'm trustable to keep my promise. Just say, I'm Ne'eman L'Shalem Schar. Why this? I've given a promise, and I can be relied upon to give my promise. This means expanded language for what? You're saying it's always about Chukim and Mishnah. Yeah, it's not only. I'm not sure. I won't comment on that because I have to look at the Pesukim. More than that, not just is this a more lengthy language, but this seems to be a deviation from the usual, a change from the usual explanation. He doesn't say, Ne'eman l'shalem sachar, I am faithful, trustable to pay reward. It says, I am reliable to keep my promise. It's different. That's not reward. That's to keep my promise. Moreover, Rashi changes. Moreover, Rashi changes also from his previous language, which he has just said in our very topic. He said, Shebischala, with for the reward of keeping this mitzvah, I will bless you. And now he changes that. He says, not I am faithful, I'm trustable to pay the reward. He says, I am trustable, which we just mentioned, the word reward, but I'm trustable to deliver my promise. Why is he referring it to it? Not as reward, but as promise. So, you know, when the Rebbe asks all these questions, each question on its own, maybe you would say, oh, look, it's a small question. But when we put it all together, we're going to see that all these are all clues and hints to give us a totally new reading and understanding and perspective on what the Torah is telling us here. And once we get this new understanding, all those little nuances will say, oh, that's why it says it like that. That's why it's that change. So what's the explanation here? Paragraph 6. Shlema Beers. The explanation is, the question, what is Rashi addressing in this pasuk? What's bothering Rashi? It's not the placing of the words, Lohosif Lachem Tuvato, that the fifth year Hashem will add, your produce will be blessed. That's not a question. The placing of the exact words, that's not such a big question. The question is, what do these words mean? The content of these words. If the Torah is just trying to tell us that there is a reward for the mitzvah of abstaining from Arla the first 3 years and taking the 40th Yerushalayim, so it should have used language like elsewhere, Leman Hosif Lachem Tevuato. In order, keep these mitzvahs, in order that Hashem should add to the blessing in your yield. Or Va'osif Lachem Tevuato, you keep these mitzvahs and I will add in the yield. This language, lehosif, in order to add the produce with a lamed, seems to be saying that the person's intention, that the reason for the mitzvah is in order to add in the produce. 3 years stay away, and the fourth year take it to Yerushalayim, in order that there should be an addition in the blessing of the fruits from fifth year onwards. Similarly, when we say in the pasuk, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, remember the day of Shabbos to make it holy. What does LeKadosho mean? It doesn't mean Zachor et Yom HaShabbat and you'll be rewarded with holiness. Remember the Shabbos in a way that you should make it holy. Remember the Shabbos to make it holy. Almost here, keep the mitzvah in order that you should have more fruit. That's what it sounds like. LeHosif Lachem Tuvato. Not LeMan. It's not a reward for keeping the law of the 3 or the 4 years. It's keep the law of the first 3 plus 1 year in order, the reason you're keeping it, the reason for this mitzvah is in order that there should be more fruit in the fifth. So Rashi derives from that there's something being told us here, that this particular mitzvah, different than other mitzvahs, this particular mitzvah has a content, keep it in order to have additional yield, a blessed yield in the fifth year on. Even though, you'll ask, usually we keep a mitzvah without any because, without any intention to get blessing, just because Hashem said so. But this mitzvah, the Torah says that keeping the mitzvah is, or at least is allowed to be, from the very get-go, with the intention that it should bring more blessing into the personal yield from 5 years onwards. And that's why Rashi says it in a lengthier language, an unusual language. The words lehosif lachem tevuato, this is not telling you about the fact that there is a reward. This is telling you that the person may intentionally aim for that reward. He's able to do this mitzvah lehosif with the aim that keeping this mitzvah of abstaining the third year, Yerushalayim, the fourth year, should add in his yield from 5 years onwards. That's a very, very interesting concept. So in other words, Rashi's bringing out two things. What does it mean, lehosif lachem tevuato? Is that in this particular mitzvah, the intention of the person can be in order that Hashem should add in the further, in the fifth year on, B, the reason that a person is allowed to think that way is because here Hashem gave a special instruction. He said that that's the way it will be. Bishchala ani mevarech lachem perot hanetiot. In the merit of keeping this mitzvah, indeed, I will bless your fruits. So before we ask the major question, why this mitzvah? Usually we say mitzvahs should be kept for the sake of Hashem, not with the intention that this should bring you blessing in your work. Let's leave that on the side. That's for paragraph 8. Meantime, paragraph 7, now we'll understand, though, something we were asking earlier. Oh, now we have another question, sorry. If lehosif lachem tvuato means Hashem will add to your produce, that's the reward. So now we understand why it says it at the end of the topic, after keeping 4 years. Now you have the fifth year. The reward is the fifth year will be more blessed because of the restraint you showed and practiced over the first 4 years. But the way now Rashi, we're learning Rashi, that we're talking, this word, lo sif lachem tvato, to add to your produce, is mainly referring to the intention of the person when he's keeping the mitzvah. So it should have written that right when it says for the first 3 years, don't eat. He should have said, in order, don't eat. You know why don't eat? In order that you should have bigger blessing when you can eat. If Rashi is telling us that here the Torah is telling us, keep this mitzvah and you can keep it with the intention of adding bracha. So it should said right away, don't eat the 3 years in order that you're able to have a blessed continuation afterwards. The fourth year, take Yerushalayim. And that's it. Why does he wait with the, it's not a reward, it's an intention. He should say the intention right in the middle of the pasuk already, not wait till the end. So that's what Rashi says. He's not calling it tevuato. Rashi changed the language. He says, "Bischala ani mevarech lachem peirot hanetiot." The reward will be, I'm blessing the fruits of your planting, not the produce. What is Rashi telling us? That when the pasuk tells us, after saying that in the fifth year you will eat the fruit, and then it says, in order to have a better result, the pasuk wants to tell us the way of this blessing. You know how this blessing? The pshat is not that Hashem will only make the fruits grow more. No. But that afterwards, even after you have the peirot hanetiot, what is the little translation? Bischala and its reward, ani mevarech lachem, I will bless for you, the fruits, peirot hanetiot, the fruits of what was planted. You know what that's saying? That after the fruit is grown already in the fifth year, once you're ready to eat it, there will be a blessing in the fruit that has already been, that has already grown. I will bless the fruits that have grown from your planting, not I will bless the nitiyah to make better fruits. I will bless the fruits once they are already fruits of your planting. Similar to what Rashi says later on in the portion of Bahar, when Hashem says, I will bless, what's the language of the pasuk is, I don't remember which pasuk it says, but Rashi says there, af betoch hameayim tehei bo bracha, even in the stomach, there'll be a bracha. After you've eaten, it'll be blessed. I can be blessed. Not that you'll have more produce. Even what you eat will be blessed. So here, Rashi is telling us, you know what the reward is here? Not tevuato, which would tell us that the field will give a better yield in the fifth year. He says, no, the fruits of the fifth year will be more blessed. Even after their fruits are ready, the bracha will go into them.
So blessing fruit.
No, not necessarily Ruchani.
So they cost more usually?
Maybe they're more delicious. No, not necessarily spiritual. Maybe it's more delicious. Maybe it doesn't get rotten. Maybe it expands. Maybe it preserves better. I'm not sure, but Hashem can bring bracha even after it's harvested, after it's in the granary, and you can have more. Hashem, you can do everything. But this is a bigger bracha, and this we find this a few times in Rashi. B'tocha me'ayim te'ebo bracha. I mean, very simply, we know eating is not the end of the process of enjoying food. Somebody eats something that maybe somebody else enjoys, but in his stomach it creates a havoc. It's a problem. You can eat something, and if you've eaten a little bit, but in your stomach it sits well and it creates a feeling of svia, a feeling of satiety. It's a bracha. So that's even on a simple level. But Hashem can bless. There's elsewhere where we talk about Yitzchak, that Yitzchak it was blessed even after it was harvested. There can be such a thing, the Torah tells us. So, but that's why Rashi changes the language, because he's saying this is a super bracha. This is even in the peirot and the fruits after the fruits are harvested. But then let's go back to the question we asked. What's the question we asked? I mean, I don't know if this is a good example, but we say that on Shabbos, if somebody works on Shabbos, he's not going to make any more money than if he wouldn't have worked. But he says, one second, I have more money in my bank if I work Shabbos, back for a bit. So you have to say, one second, what is money? If you spent extra money, you've spent more money now on medical expenses that you didn't need to have. So you had more money, you spent more money. You'd rather not spend that money. You'd rather not have it, not spend it. So even after something is here, you need to have bracha. You can still have a bracha in it. Not just that it grows more, but the actual what you have is blessed. But the question we obviously are begging to ask, why this mitzvah, out of all mitzvahs, are we talking about that it's okay to have the intention that you're doing this mitzvah to refrain from eating the first 3 years? Lehosif lachem tuato, in order to get a more blessed yield, more blessed result in fifth year on. Paragraph 8. So we have to understand, why is this mitzvah different from all other mitzvahs? Why is this night different than all other nights of the year? Why is this mitzvah different than all other mitzvahs of the year? First of all, about this mitzvah, we see that the Torah says you're allowed to have that intention from the beginning. B, this mitzvah is not just there'll be more produce, but there's an extraordinary bracha. Lehosif lachem peirot hanetiot, that the actual fruit is going to be more blessed after it grows. That's why Rashi says from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say the Torah speaks to the negative, to the Yetzer Hara. The person shouldn't say, I worked 4 years for nothing. In other words, since it's difficult to fulfill a mitzvah, this mitzvah has a difficulty. You know why? Because for 4 years a person works and he doesn't see any result. He has to tend to the trees, he has to prune them, he has to make sure he has to make sure they grow. It's to work, and he has to sit by and not close his mouth. Sees luscious, maybe he sees beautiful fruits growing on them. Close his mouth, can't eat them. So now the Torah, now Hashem gave permission. Hashem was matir. Hashem gave permission because, remember, when the Yetzer Hara is there screaming, Hashem says, look, I can just tell him, don't ask. Or I can say, you know what? Mr. Yetzer Hara, you're not such a bad guy. You're just thinking about yourself. You're a selfish guy. I want to tell you something. In this mitzvah, even if you're thinking about yourself, it's not for nothing. This mitzvah is going to bring you blessing. And it's going to give you extraordinary blessing. So because there's a strong Yetzer Hara, there's a strong feeling of being gypped. I'm working hard. I'm not touching my fruits. Hashem says, I'm going to allow in this mitzvah that you can build into the mitzvah a reframing, saying, I'm investing in my fifth year, because now that I'm keeping Hashem's mitzvah, not eating the first 3 years, I'm taking the fourth year to Yerushalayim, my fifth year, when it really becomes mine, is going to be much more blessed. And in this mitzvah, Hashem says, Rabbi Akiva says, when there's a Yetzer Hara, sometimes Hashem says, you know what? You don't always have to push yourself to the wall to be altruistic. How about I'm going to give you a way to do this with your own interest at heart? You're going to be extraordinarily blessed by keeping this mitzvah. And you can have it in mind in the very first place. We said, yeah, when there's a loss of money, there's a difficulty. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure if this connects to Aser to Aser, but let's leave that afterwards. Remind me about Tzedakah in general. According to this, we'll understand simply why Rashi then says, Ani Hashem. Remember we said Rashi gives a different comment on I am Hashem than usually. He doesn't just say, I'm reliable to pay reward. He says, no, I am Hashem who promises and is trustable to deliver my promise. Here, it's not enough to say I'm Hashem who's trustable to reward, just like it says by many other mitzvahs. Because here we're talking about a mitzvah where Hashem has given permission for the person to do the mitzvah for the reward in the first place. And if not, the Yetzer Hara may have convinced him to not to do the mitzvah. That's why Hashem says, Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem who promises about this, and I'm trustable to deliver on my promise, knowing that when Hashem promises, and Hashem says, hey, I'm promising, that's enough even for the Yetzer Hara to agree to fulfill the mitzvah. Hashem says, I'm the one who's promising. It's worthwhile to wait. I'm in charge of everything. I'm the one who has all the power. I'm promising. So it's a more emphasized way of saying, talking to the Yetzer Hara and saying, hey, even if this bothers you because you have a loss of money and you have this standing by not using your fruit, this is investing in your fifth year. And I'm the one who's promising. So relax. Says the Rebbe, in a little bit of a twist, in a footnote, there's something else here. What would somebody who's a little bit more sophisticated come and say? A person would say, oy vey, how can it be that if somebody does the mitzvah for the sake of the reward, how can it be that he's actually going to get rewarded? We know that the Pirkei Avot tells us the way to serve Hashem is not almenat lekabel pras in order to get a reward, but shelo almenat lekabel pras. So by virtue of the fact that you're keeping, if you keep this mitzvah of 3 years, 4 years, in order to have better produce after 5 years, basically you're ruining the mitzvah. Okay. So the Yetzer Hara may come and say, don't bother. No, but Hashem said I can do it thinking about the reward. Yeah, but you know, he says elsewhere that that's not a good way to do a mitzvah. It's of dimalech. Forget about it. So it has to, Hashem says, Ani ha-maftiach. I'm the one telling you here that in this case, it's perfect. It's fine. Don't worry. You're going to get rewarded. You see how the Yetzer Hara can sometimes play with us? Sometimes it comes to us and says, oh, you're going to do the mitzvah for the sake of reward? It's not going to be worth it. Don't do the mitzvah. Don't do the mitzvah. Yeah, that's even worse. But we work sometimes. Yetzar is very, very crafty. It comes to us with all kinds of things. But here he's saying, Ani ha-maftiach, I'm the one who's promising this. And I'm telling you, do it this way. I'm giving you permission to do this mitzvah this way. So the Yetzar doesn't interfere. Tell the Yetzar, hey, it's good for us. It's good for us to do this because the 50 years is going to be so blessed. So this gives us a bit of a different perspective on Rashi's sharing about this mitzvah. Lo hosif lachem tuvato, you can keep this mitzvah in order to have blessing in the future fruits. Paragraph 9, still, by a Talmid Mamulach, by the seasoned student, literally a salty student, you know, the more sophisticated student will have a question. How is it that by this mitzvah, there's such a stark contrast that Hashem says you can do it with the motive of getting blessing in the fifth year? And not just that, Hashem comes strongly and says, and I'm promising that your fruit is going to be blessed in an extraordinarily way. Not just it will grow better, but the fruit that you actually plucked will be more blessed. Why does Hashem do this? Because of a guy who has a Yetzer Hara? Because of a guy who's being told to refrain from the fruits for 3 or 4 years, and the Yetzer Hara is coming and make him crazy. He says, what are you doing? That's why Hashem gives such an extraordinary blessing. It doesn't sound like a person like that deserves to get such a reaction from Hashem with such extraordinary blessing. So that's why Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva said this. Anybody else know what Rabbi Akiva said? Rabbi Akiva said, the law of love your fellow as yourself, Zeklal Gadol Torah, is the big rule of the Torah. It's the big rule from which all other mitzvahs stem, really. Love your fellow as yourself. In other words, also, we know it says about Rabbi Akiva, it says, Hayar Agil Zakot Yisrael, he looked for ways to find merit about the Jewish people, to present them in a positive light. So according to Rabbi Akiva, to find a merit for every Jew and to try and help him. And that is really the big rule of the Torah. Now we understand why the Torah is paying attention to this Jew who his Yetzer Hara is roaring. And you would think, the Torah should pay attention. No, no, no. The whole point of the Torah is for every Jew. This Jew has an issue. So Hashem is telling him, hey, in this case, we understand the Yetzer Hara screaming that you have to abstain from the fruit for so long. Give the Yetzer Hara the understanding that there's big blessing waiting for doing this. It's good for you. And now we also understand, what does it mean? Hayya Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was wont to say, this is what he used to say. This was the thing he would always espouse. He would always share. In other words, by expressing this interest that the Torah should have to speak to the guy who has a raging Yetzer Hara, this is an expression. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is bothered about it and looking for a way that the Torah should calm down and placate and allow the guy with the Yetzer Hara to overcome that is because Rabbi Akiva was always in the mode of looking for a way to bring zechut, to bring merit in a way of Ahavat Yisrael to every single Jew. This was Hayya Rabbi Akiva. This was what he used to say. This was his whole being. Also, you remember Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, the first 40 years of his life, didn't learn any Torah.
What did he do?
He was a shepherd, a very ignorant shepherd. Only when he was promised a reward, if he's going to go study Torah, he went to learn.
Marrying great woman.
So there's an issue in the various Gemaras. It would seem that the stipulation before marriage was, if you wanted to marry the daughter of Kalba Savur, she was an extraordinarily pedigreed woman, a daughter of one of the greatest, one of the wealthiest people in Yerushalayim. He was hoping to get a great son-in-law. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to marry her. She said, if you go and study Torah. So the truth is, the Gemara in some places tells the story that she convinced him only after they were married. Says the Rebbe, in order to align the different Gemaras, one says that she told him before they got married, I'll marry you if you go and study. The other one says only after they got married, she said, go study. That Rabbi says you could say that there was a stipulation that was unknown. So sometimes we talk about it as before, sometimes we talk about it as only her sending him to learn Torah only after they got married. Whatever the case was, there was a motive there for him to go study Torah.
Same like him.
So when we look at Rabbi Akiva, we know Rabbi Akiva understands that he understands the concept of somebody looking and saying, for 4 years, I'm going to not touch my fruit. He understands that there's a voice inside that says, for nothing, I'm just going to, because his learning Torah was also, don't forget, there's something deeper. A person says, 4 years I put forth effort and it's like nothing. When somebody goes to learn Torah at 40, and by the way, this is sometimes a problem when somebody discovers that the real path in life is the Torah, and they discover it very late, what can sometimes happen to a person who's older is if he does a U-turn now, changes his path, basically, he's going to be proclaiming to himself that everything he did till now was a mistake. And for some people, that's too much. Chinam, the whole thing was for nothing. Sometimes when a kid comes home and they became religious, why is there such animosity? Sometimes when they come home, because the kids say, I'm not eating, I'm keeping kosher now, and the parents aren't keeping kosher. I'm not telling his mother he's not eating in the house. What that's telling the parents is that he's rejecting the way they've lived for the last 40 years. That's very hard to... So Rabbi Akiva had that experience by going after 40 to study. He was basically saying that till now, he was wasting his time doing whatever he was doing. So there's a voice that says, am I really going to do that? Am I really going to... Or do I just close my eyes and just keep on in the path I am and pretend that, you know, I'm on the right path? So Rabbi Akiva understood this. I'm gonna say that the 4 years of my vineyard, of my fruits, is for nothing. Rabbi Akiva said, I went to learn Torah. But Rabbi Akiva also went to learn Torah for a motive, for a schar. Nonetheless, he was successful in learning Torah. With such a success, we say all of the Torah Shebaal Peh really goes according to the opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is the one. He used to say that, don't worry, let this mitzvah is telling you, keep the mitzvah. Tell the Yetzer Hara that you're going to be blessed. Yes, it's not pure motive, but get into it. Get into it that way. Once you jump into it that way, you can even become Rabbi Akiva. However, paragraph 10 says that it's still not 100% understood. What's not understood? In the end of the day, at least in the Pnimius, at least when we delve a little deeper into the esoteric parts of the Torah, why? In the end of the day, speaking to the Yetzer Hara is only needed for some Jews. There are many Jews that you tell them the Torah says, they do it. There's no... If there's a voice, they quiet the voice. I don't need to know about a reward. Hashem wants me to do this. If it's important to him, I'll do it. So, but there are some Jews that says, no, how am I going to do this? And we have to give, say, you know, think about the reward. But that's only some. Why in this mitzvah does it seem to be that the whole mitzvah, the default of this mitzvah is that you do it in order to have your fifth year blessed? Why in this mitzvah is the Torah emphasizing, the Torah is speaking to the Yetzer Hara that says, 4 years, I'm going to get effort for nothing. The explanation is, what is the inner meaning that the Torah speaks to the Yetzer Hara? That this mitzvah, what is this mitzvah about? The Torah is using this mitzvah to ibermachen, to remake, to overhaul the Yetzer Hara. Like we say, that we have to love with Hashem with chol levavecha, not b'chol libcha, with all your heart, singular. Chol levavecha, with all your heart, plural. It means shnei yitzarecha, with both of your inclinations. What we're meant to do, the ultimate is to take the animalistic part of us that wants to eat and indulge and get it to understand that really the most pristine, enjoyable thing in life is connection to Hashem. And if you, that's the tapcha. If you take the nefesh habamid, if you take the animal soul, if you take that part of you that when it sees a good steak or a good ice cream or whatever you're into, you want to jump into it. If you're able to take that indulgent power and make it directed to God, you have turbo. You're like a turbo engine that's connected to Hashem. That's the ultimate. So here, what we're saying is, the Yetzer Hara, what we're saying is the Torah is talking to the Yetzer Hara saying, look, come along with me on this journey. This mitzvah will actually make the fruit more blessed. Join me in wanting to do this mitzvah. And therefore, what's the mitzvah? What's the reward? Losif lachem tvuato. You'll have more reward. You'll have more produce. Because through ithapcha, through transformation and refining, the nefesh, the Yetzer Hara, the negative inclination, and the nefesh habamit, the animal soul, then you get lehosif. The true addition to holiness comes by the transformation of the unholy. As we know that it says, "V'rav tivuot b'koach shor," Shlomo HaMelech says, think of this. You get more yield in your field from the brute force of a bull. Man is very smart, but who can produce more in the field? The shor. The force of the bull when it's harnessed to a plow then you get a real yield from the field. Similarly, when you take the shor in you, you take the behema in you, the animal in you, and you harness it to serving Hashem, that's, you get real power. And this, and from, of the reasons for this is because serving Hashem in a way that you're taking your animal soul is connected with tsar. Tsar means pain, but let's say effort. Effort to the point of hard effort. The serving Hashem just with your neshama is pleasurable. The neshama wants to bask in the sublime presence of Hashem. But taking your animal soul and working with it, it's toil to break it, to work with it, to motivate it, to take it away from what it really wants to do, to what it really ought to do, is yegiya, it's tsar. And there's a process called itkafya, which is to force yourself. That's why in this process of the 4 years and 50 years, we say the first 4 years is tsar. It's pain. It's effort. You feel bad. You can't eat those fruit. But then if you overcome that and you're able to speak to the Yetzirah and make it part of the journey, then what you have is lohosif lachem tovato, you have even more produce. In other words, you get the benefit of serving Hashem also with the power of the nefesh habamit, of the animal soul. So here we have a beautiful beautiful look at the fact that even a mitzvah, and I don't know whether this applies only to this mitzvah, this can be extended to other mitzvahs in general. We're learning it from Rabbi Akiva, who did it in general about learning Torah. In other words, sometimes rather than fighting against the Yetzirah, you know, there's two ways to approach. Let's take, for example, getting your kids to clean their room. I say, I want you to clean the room. Why? I said so. Break yourself. Or you could say, I want you to clean your room because, you know, you clean your room, you're gonna wake up with a clean feeling. You're gonna be able to function well. So the kid who may have a resistance initially to keeping his father's instruction, now he understands it's for him really. Oh, of course I'll do it. Which is better? Which is more important? So there's room for both. But here we're talking to a mitzvah. Dibra Torah Kenegi Yetzirah. Rabbi Akiva says this mitzvah. Sometimes Hashem says, I don't want you to fight. I'm going to give you an easier way. I'm going to speak in a way that the Yetzer Hara will also understand. You're going to be more blessed in the fifth year. Go for it. Interesting, and I don't know, I didn't see a quote here, whether, is this also, I'm asking a question here, and I'm not going to answer because I don't know the answer. Is this also part of the motive of why the Torah tells us, "Aser b'shvil shetitasher u'b'chanuni nabazot," when it comes to tithing, you will be blessed. You'll become rich because of your tithing. And the Torah even says, "You can test me." And the Gemara clearly says, and the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, "You can, about this mitzvah, you can test Hashem. Give, and you'll be blessed." In other words, only mitzvah you're giving. You don't have to fight your Yetzer Hara in that case. I'm giving. Am I doing something for somebody else? No, really, I'm doing something for myself because I'll be blessed. At any rate, I'm not sure if this applies here or not. This is the sicha. But it doesn't say that you can test Hashem about it.